So we're finishing up Emor and starting Bahar. So I figured what we would do is a theme that actually connects both Emor and Bahar, but also talked about the period we're in now, specifically Sfirat HaOmer, going up to Shavuot. I figured it was a good time to discuss it. So right, Parshat Bahar starts with the Shemitah Yovel cycle. Right, at the beginning, right, Vadaber Adonai Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor, Daber al-Bnei Yisrael v'amart alehem, ki tavo el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem v'shaftar et Shabbat l'Adonai. So when you come to Israel, so every seventh year will be Shemitah, the land will rest. And then you hear, Sheish anim tizra sadecha v'sheish anim tizmor karmecha v'asafta tevuata. And for 6 years, you will plant your fields, and you'll prune, and you'll gather your produce. And the seventh year, it'll be a resting of restings for the land. It'll be a Shabbos. It'll be a Sabbath for God, for your field, and you won't plant, and you won't prune, and it goes on, right? Etc. So the first laws we get are the laws of Shemitah, that every seventh year the land lays fallow. And then in Pasuk Chet, we find out that every seventh, right, after seven sevens, meaning every 49th, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but the way we pass in every 50th year after seven, V'safarta lecha sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pe'amim, v'yu lecha yimei sheva shabtot shanim, teishav arim shana. And then every seven sevens, you'll count seven sevens, and after seven sevens, you'll get 49, and then you'll have Yovel in year 50. V'avarta shofar tru'a b'chodesh ha'shvi'i, v'asor l'chodesh, and then the 50th year, during on Yom Kippur, you will blow the shofar, and in the 50th year will be holy, and you will and then you will call freedom to the whole land, and people will return to their land and return to their family. And the Pesukim go on to tell you, and again, the way we understand Yovel is it's 49, then 1, and then you start the cycle again, so it's 50s. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's Ola Lakan Lakan, that the 50th year counts for both, so it starts the next cycle already. It's the 50th year, but then it starts the next cycle, so it's every 49 years, but whatever it is, 7 sevens and then year 50. And during the Yovel year, during Shemitah, the land lies fallow and you release debts. During Yovel, the same thing happens, but you also free slaves and ancestral homelands are go back to their original owners if they were sold during the 50 years of Yovel. But to understand Yovel and what the theme of Yovel really is about, we'll see in a second, but to understand what Shavuot is about, you have to realize that right, these psukim, they sound very grand, but they also sound like we've had them before, right? Like Yovel seems pretty, somewhat clear, and, as we'll see, the theme of Yovel is that the land belongs to God, and therefore God wants you to show a recognition that the land really isn't yours, so relinquish your rights on the land every 7 years. But Shavuot, in the Torah, we really don't know what Shavuot is about very much, but one thing that we can note is that Shavuot sounds like Yovel. So if you look at Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk, your Tetvav, you get Usfartem Lochem Imacharat HaShabbat. You will count starting the day after the first day of Pesach. Miyom Aviyachem Et Omer Atznufa, from when you bring the Omer. Sheva Shabbatot Miyot Tiena. 7 years, right? Sorry, 7 weeks, full weeks. Until after the seventh week, you'll count 50 days, and then you will bring a new carbon. And you realize just right off the bat that Shavuot and Yovel in the Torah seem to be, in some ways, identical, right? Shavuot is to days what Yovel is to years. Each of them is, right, from Pesach to Shavuot, you count seven sevens, and then day 50 is Shavuot. Yovel is seven sevens of Shemitah, and then year 50 is Yovel. Now, Yovel, as I said, we sort of know what it's about. It's about God owning the earth, and therefore us relinquishing rights to the earth, and, things like that. But Shavuot...
I mean, nowhere is it named in the Torah.
Well, right, Shavuot, right. I mean, right. Shavuot is called Chag HaBikurim, right? Now, or really, I should start the other way, right? Why is it? What is it? Well, maybe that's how we should start, right? What is Shavuot, right? What is the purpose of Sefirot HaOmer and Shavuot? What are we even celebrating on Shavuot? So we all say we're celebrating Matan Torah, but the truth is that where do we even get that from, right? Like, where do we get the notion that Shavuot is Matan Torah? It never says that in the Torah. The Torah calls it Chag HaBikurim. All we know is that after 7 weeks of counting, day 50, we bring the Bikurim. We start bringing Bikurim. We bring the Karbon Shtei Lechem, and we bring certain Karbanot. But we don't hear anything about the Torah. It never says that. Like, there's, right? It never says that it's Matan Torah. You know? And the question really is where does it come from? Right? Where does it come from that Shavuot is about Matan Torah? How does Chazal know? So, piece of, you know, clue one that we have seems to be this, right? Meaning, when you look in the Torah, we don't even know what Shavuot's about. We just know that it exists. But if you want to know what it's about, and try to figure out maybe how did Chazal know that it's Man Matan Torah Dino, so we have to say, what do we know about Shavuot? So the first thing we know about Shavuot is that it sounds like Yovel, right? Is that it sounds like Yovel. That Yovel seems to be 2 years what Shavuot is to every year, right? You count 7 sevens, in the end, you have a holiday on year 50, on number 50, on day or year 50. And I gave you the psukim in 2 and 3, just so it's very clear, right? And 49, 50. Fine. Okay, so piece of evidence one, right? What is Shavuot in the Torah? Seems to be something like Yovel. What does that mean? We don't know yet, but that's that's clue one that we have. But it turns out that the Yovel isn't just connected to Shavuot. Shavuot is connected to Yovel, and that's where the connections end, right? You get the 7 sevens and you count till number 50. But Yovel itself is connected to other events in addition to Svira. So, if we move here to number 4, so we just saw this pasuk. How does Yovel really kick off? Right after you've counted your 7 sevens, you get to your 50, and you get to that Yom Kippur when we start the Yovel and the laws of Yovel. So, what did we do? So, I gave it to you in 5, just so it's highlighted. Right, v'havarta shofar tshuva v'chodesh shvi v'asor v'chodesh v'yom kippurim ta'avir shofar v'chol artzechem. Yovel kicks off with a shofar blowing. Now, that notion that Yovel kicks off with a shofar blowing seems to connect Yovel to 2 stories in Tanakh. Right, so where else do we have a shofar blowing and Yovel in Chumash? We have it one other place besides for Yovel itself. Well, that's Yovel. In Tanakh. We'll come to that. The second one is Yericho, and once in Chumash is Matan Torah. Because if you look at number 6, in Matan Torah, it says, L'tiga bo yad, ki sakol yisakel yoro yiyorem, beimai mishlo yichya. Right? Don't touch Har Sinai. Because if you do, you'll be stoned or shot or whatever, whether it's an animal or a person. Now, how do you know when you're not allowed to touch Har Sinai? How are you going to know when God's presence descended on Har Sinai? B'mshoch ha-yovel hema yalu vahar. When you hear the yovel. Now, what's the yovel? The yovel is the shofar. So, in the actual yovel, the year is called yovel, and it is kicked off with a shofar blast. At Har Sinai, it's kicked off with a shofar blast, and the shofar blast itself is referred to as yovel. The third time we have that, right? So you have it Matan Torah, then you have it in Yovel, is Yericho, right? So if you skip down to 12, right, this is from Yoshua Perek Vav. So just read the story. V'Yericho sogeret umisu geret v'vnei b'nei Yisrael, you know, say vein ba, right? Yericho was totally sealed off from the Jews. No one could go in, no one could go out. Right, by the Jews, rather, right? They surrounded it. Vayomer Adonai Yoshua, Re'ei Natati V'Yachad Yericho V'et Malkach Gibrei Achayil. Look, I have given you Yericho, its king, and the strong ones. V'sabotem et ha'ir kol anshei milchama ha'keif et ha'ir pam achad kotas eshei shemim. Now, watch this story. We're going to have 3 elements. We're going to have 7 sevens, and we're going to have Yovel, and we're going to have Shofar. We're going to get all of them all together. Right? So he said, how are you going to beat Yericho? How are you going to get through this super double wall? Everyone go around once for 6 days. And then seven koanim will carry seven shofarot, right? Seven times seven shofars, which we call yovlim, right? Which are blowing, right? Which we refer to as yovlim. Lifnei Aaron, uvayom hashvi'i, on the seventh day, tasovu reir sheva pamim. You'll have it. You'll go around seven times. Vakonim yitku v'shofarot, and you'll blow the shofar. Vayav bimshoch bekeren hayovel. And when the yovel is blasted, meaning the shofar, kishamachem et kol ha-shofar, yariyu kol ha-am trua gdola v'nofel chomar ha-ir tachta v'alu ha-am yishnegdo. Everyone will be able to go in because the walls will fall. And then the pasuk says that's exactly what happened. Vayikra Yoshua ben Nun el ha-kohanim, vayomar aleihem su'ed Aaron ha-brit v'shiva ha-kohanim yisu shiva ha-shofarot yovlim lifnei Aaron ha-dai. So he calls the kohanim and he says, get seven kohanim with seven shofarot, which are yovlim before the Aaron. Vayomar aleihem yivru v'asovud hira chalutz yavar lifnei Aaron ha-dai. And everyone should pass in front of them. Vayhi kamor Yoshua la'am v'shiva ha-kohanim nosim. Right, you hear these words over and over again. And when Yeshua will tell the nation, Vishiva Kohanim, Nosim Shiva Shofarot, the seven Kohanim carrying the seven Shofarot, Hayovlim, which are blowing, Lefnei Hashem, Avru Vitikuba Shofarot, blow the Shofar, Varon Brit Hashem, Olech Achrayem, the Chalutz, Olech, etc. And then if you skip to, right, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we start hearing the story, Vayatsev Aron Hashem, Et Ha'ir Ha'kev Pamachar, Vayvo Machane Velo Machane. So they go around once, and then they do it again. Pasuk Gimel, Vishiva Kohanim Nosim Shiva Shofarot. Again, seven times seven, the seven Kohanim holding seven shofarot, blowing them, Lifnei Aaron Hashem, Olchim Haloch V'Tekuv Shofarot, V'Chalutz Aleich Lefneihem, V'Asef Aleich Acharei Aaron Hashem, Haloch V'Tekuv Shofarot. And then they do it on day two, and they do it for 6 whole days. And Pasuk Tedvav, Vayhi Bayom Hashvi'i, Vayashkimu Kalot HaShachar, Vayasovu Et Ha'ir K'Mishpat Hazeh Sheva Pamim, Rak Bayom Ahu, Sovevu Et Ha'ir Sheva Pamim. On the seventh day, they do it seven times. Vayhi b'pam ha-shvi'it, tik'u ha-kohanim b'shofarot. On the seventh time around, they blow the shofarot. Vayomer Yehoshua al ha'am hariu. Blow the shofar, ki natan Hashem lachem et ha'ir, because God has given you the city. Vayita ha'ir cheirem hi. And the ear will be, the city will be cheirem. Meaning, no one's allowed to touch it, because it's holy la'ashem. Which reminds us of Har Sinai. Right, which the whole mountain is Cherem Lashem, and then they said don't hurt Rachav, etc. And that's what they do, and they go around seven times, and they burn down the city, etc. So if we come to the question, what is Shavuot? So first we know that Shavuot is connected to Yovel by the seven sevens. Then we know that Yovel is connected to Har Sinai via the Yovel, right, by the actual shofar blowing called the Yovel, right? The shofar plus the word Yovel. Then, in turn, the Yovel gets connected, Yovel well, and Matan Torah get connected to Yericho, because they both have, Yericho is connected to Yovel by the seven sevens, right? Plus the shofar, plus the Yovel, and then connected to Har Sinai by the Cherem, by the fact that the city will become Kodesh Lashem and no one will be able to touch it. Right, so you have this complex connection where, right, Svira is connected to Yovel, Yovel is connected to Matan Torah, Yericho is connected to Matan Torah and Yovel, right, and I guess the seven sevens, to Shavuot, right, all through these themes of the sevens and the Yovel and the Shofarot. And the question is, okay, well, how do you put all this information together? I mean, it's clear that there's like patterns emerging, but what is this supposed to teach you about Matan Torah, Shavuot, Yovel, Yericho? What is all of this teaching you? So, 1.1. Right? Point one, before we come back to Shavuot, to connect Har Sinai, Yovel, and Yericho is somewhat easy. Because if I asked you, what is the theme of Yovel? Right, what is the theme of Yovel? So here you don't have to guess. The Torah tells you exactly what the theme is of Yovel, right? In Perek Lamed Hey, and I've already mentioned a few times, the Torah asks, why is it that in the year of Yovel, you have to return the ancestral land? Or if someone sold land to you, you have to return it to them. And if a slave has been enslaved, he goes free in Yovel. Why does that happen? So the pasuk tells you in Perek Chav Gimel, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the last pasuk in the unit. I put it on the sources also, number 10. The Haaretz Loti Macher L'Smitut. You can't sell the land forever, and that's why it goes back in Yovel. Why? Ki Li Haaretz, because the land is mine. Ki Gerim V'Toshavim Atem Imadi, because you were just a sojourner with me. V'Chol Eretz Achuzotchem Geulah Titnu Laaretz, and therefore, in all of your ancestral land, you shall give redemption to the land. Right? The Torah is very clear. Yovel, the reason that every seventh year all loans are wiped away, and then every 50th year all sales are reversed, and everyone gets back their ancestral land, and all people who are slaves are free, is because God wants to drive home the point and say, hi, I really own the whole land. You think that you own your property, and therefore you have the right to sell your ancestral land and, you know, perpetuate this cycle where the rich become richer and the poor become poorer with nothing stopping the cycle. You think you have this, you can allow people who are so poor they sell themselves into slavery to continue to be poor, to be as poor as you can possibly be, to be enslaved, and you will remain free? It's not going to happen. Kili aretz, the land is mine. I don't want that. I want there to be an end to it. At a certain point, we're just stopping it. Right? It's all going back because the land isn't yours. Your slaves aren't yours. Nothing's really yours. Everything's mine. Right? That's the theme of Yovel. And that explains why slaves go free, and that explains why land goes back. Because God says, I own the land, I own the people, you don't get to own it forever. From there, we can very quickly, I think, understand what Yovel is all about. What Yericho is all about. Right? Why does Yericho feel like a Yovel, right? With seven sevens and shofars and Yovels? So here, I think, it's helpful to remember the first Rashi in the Torah. Right? The first Rashi in the Torah is, why does the whole Torah begin with the creation of the world? Right? So Ramban says, I don't like the whole question, right? It starts with the creation of the world because you need to learn the ethical stories of Sefer Bereishit. But Rashi says, why do you need to know that God created the world? So what does he say, right, famously?
It's mine, I can give it to whoever I want.
Right? It's mine, I can give it to anyone. Want. Right? He says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, put in 11. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, lo haya tzarech latzchil Torah l'mechodesh azelechem. You only have to start at Rosh Chodesh. So why do you tell us about Bereishis? He told the Jewish people he created the world so they could give them Eretz Yisrael. Because lest the nations come and tell the Jews, you are slaves, you are thieves, because you conquered the seven nations' land. Because the whole land is God's. Hu bara unatanala sher yashavinav. It's his. He created. He gives it to whoever he wants. Virtzono natanala hem uvirtzono natlamehem v'natanlane. So he took it from the nations. He gave it to us. Well, I think that's the theme. Pachodiu ter of Yovel, right? Yovel. The whole theme of Yovel to the Jewish people is the reason that if you sell land, your ancestral land, it goes back after 50 years, is because you don't really own the land. God owns the land. And therefore, you don't have the right to sell it for in perpetuity. Well, what exactly is happening in Yericho? It's the first time that the Jews are coming in and conquering. And you could think, as Rashi articulates it, that people would say, who gave you the right to conquer Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, Ki Li Haaretz. Right? We need to invoke the memory of Yovel, because just like Yovel forces us to return the land to, you know, ancestral land that's been sold, it's what gives us the right to take part of Eretz Yisrael, because God says it's mine. If it's mine, I can tell you, you can only sell it for 50 years, I can tell you that Israel is yours, right? Kili Aretz. And therefore, in Yericho, we invoke the memory of Yovel, right? Because we want to invoke the notion of Kili Aretz, that it's my land, I give it to whoever I want. And if we recognize that's true, if we recognize that God is really he who controls the earth, so we can justify our conquering of Eretz Yisrael. So the connection of Yovel to Yericho, I think, is actually pretty straightforward. Now, what's the connection of Yovel to Matan Torah, though? Right? This is a bit more complicated, right? So I get it. Yovel is connected to Yericho, but why is Yovel connected to Matan Torah? So here, it seems that it's actually that the message of Matan Torah is actually the same, right? Because remember, there's two parts to Yovel. One is that land belongs to God, and what's the other part? People belong to God, and that's why if you're a slave, you go free, because God says, I don't want you to be able to own slaves. Well, if you look at number 9, that's actually what the Torah describes Matan Torah being about. Vata, im shamo tishmu v'koli ushmartem et briti, v'yitem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li ha'aretz. God owning the land, meaning the earth, is also what allows him to choose the Jewish people as his own. Right? That's how we write those same words. Right, Kiliaret, that's stolen from, or really, Yovel steals it from here, right? It's, V'yitem li sigulam, mikolamim, Kiliaret. Kilikolaret, God says, because I own the earth, that's why I can choose whichever person I want. Right, so Yovel teaches you two things. God owns the physical earth, and he owns all people on the earth, and therefore, you can't sell land forever, and you can't sell people forever. Well, Yericho is a Yovel in the sense that it reminds the world that God owns the earth, and therefore he has the right to give Eretz Yisrael to whoever he wants. Matan Torah, which was the moment when God chose a people to be his own, to be his servants, you also need to remember that the reason God can choose a people is because they're all his. The world is his. He therefore can choose one people to be his unique nation. And therefore, Matan Torah is also, at certain levels, a Yovel esque experience. So if we just take Yovel, and we start with the theme that Yovel is about teaching the world that Kili Haaretz, that God owns the earth, and therefore he owns land, and he can control who owns land, when, what, where, and two, he owns people, that he controls all of humanity and therefore can choose people as his own, he can therefore tell you to free your slave. So then, we needed a Yovel-esque experience in Yericho as a symbolic statement that we have the right to Eretz Yisrael because God really owns everything and therefore chose us to have it, and therefore you have the same themes, right? Seven sevens, right? Seven kohanim, the seven shofarot, which are Yovelim, right? You get the seven, the shofar, and the Yovel, right? It's about, right, all those themes just staring you in the face, that it is a Yovel-esque experience. Matan Torah is also, when you think about it, a Yovel experience, not from the land perspective, but from the second perspective, that God owns people. Because he owns the earth, that includes the people in it. And therefore, he can choose whoever he wants as his own. And that's what he did at Matan Torah. So Yovel brings the themes together. You know, Matan Torah is one prong of the theme of Yovel, and Yericho is prong two. So that puts together, let's say, three of the factors in the story, right? Is why is it that we get this notion of Yovel and Shofar at Matan Torah, and why do we get seven sevens and Shofar and Yovel Yericho? Because they both function on Kili Haaretz, the Li Haaretz part of humanity, and the Li Haaretz part of physical land. Now, how does this, now with this, though, we can now understand, I think, right, this is, by the way, from Rabbi Forman, this is last year's Shavuot series, mostly. He says, well, with all this background, we can suddenly come back and we can say, okay, well, where did Chazal get the notion that Shavuot was Man Matan Torah Teinu? He said, well, it's very simple. They looked at the Torah and they said, well, Svira is just Yovel. Yovel counts up to a Matan Torah-esque experience, right? Because right, I say that Matan Torah is a Yovel-esque experience, but it's not really true. Yovel is a Matan Torah-esque experience because Matan Torah came first, right? So they said, well, wait a second. 7 times 7 to day 50. That's Yovel. Yovel counts up to Matan Torah, right? To a Matan Torah-esque experience, to a declaration of God that Kili Haaretz. Well, if that's the case, then what did Svira kept up to? What did the seven sevens of Svira count to? What was day 50? And they said, well, it's probably, right? Now, they also have mathematical reasons to assume that Matan Torah is around the end of Svira, right? It also is true, right? We know if you do the math, it comes out sometime at the beginning of Sivan, right? Fifth, sixth, or seventh of Sivan, depending on how many Malays or Chazers you get, right? But it comes out that it was around then. So it's clearly, right, there are other reasons, but part of the reason that we treat it as Matan Taratenu, even though the way, ironically, Chazal actually say it, is that Vav Sivan is when we celebrate Shavuot, even though Zayin Sivan is when we got the Torah, according to Chazal, not Vav. That's a whole calculation of itself. But the reason we celebrate it as Matan Torah is because of partially this notion that they saw a Yovel in Sfira. And if Yovel counts up to a Matan Torah-esque experience, then right, you put the math together and you put the themes together, Shavuot is the same thing. Shavuot is counting up to a Yovel experience. Okay. So now, we've connected all the numbers and everything, right? Just to review those, right? So, right, we have, right, if we start as Yovel as our collective point, right, we're at seven sevens, which ends with a shofar blast called the Yovel, and the lesson of that moment is Kili Haaretz. So that brings together two themes. One, which was first articulated in Matan Torah, which is that God owns the earth and therefore can choose people. It expresses itself in Yovel, that the shofar blast frees slaves, because God says, Kili Haaretz, just like I can choose the Jews as my own, I can tell you that the slaves have to go back. Or, the way Chazal ends up saying is, the reason that a Jewish slave will have to go back, right, and, or I'll put it this way, the reason, according to Chazal, a slave who chooses to pierce his ear and live beyond the 7 years still goes free in Yovel is because he gets punished for wanting to slay a slave, because he heard at Matan Torah that you are my slaves, Avadaihem, and he chose to be an Eved Le'Eved. Right? So Chazal are picking up on this, that the problem of slavery, especially if you sold yourself, was that you are giving up on being God's slave and choosing to be a human slave. But God says you can't do that forever. At some point, you have to go home. You have to be my slave. I chose you. So Yovel brings out that theme from Matan Torah. Then the theme of Yovel is played out in Yericho when God says, well, prong two of it is, how am I going to emphasize that I own the land by giving it to whoever I want? How am I going to do that in the future? When you sell ancestral land, I'm going to make you give it back in year 50. And all of it will come together to emphasize Kili Haaretz. Then Chazal, looking at this combination of factors, look at Sfira, counting up to Shavuot, or Chag HaBikurim, really, and they say, okay, well, what exactly happened there, right? What is Sfira counting up to? Well, it's seven sevens. It's about when we got Matan Torah, so it must be Matan Torah. It's the time when Kili Haaretz V'yitem li Segula, when God chose us as his own, right? That is the theme of Matan Torah. That's the theme of Yovel. It also makes sense, once you say that, why Bikurim is the mitzvah that the Torah does list for at the end of Sefirat Omer, at Shavuot. Because what's Bikurim? Bikurim is, when you get to the land, the first fruit always goes to the Mikdash. Now, why do you bring the first fruit to the Mikdash? Because when you bring the first of your fruit to the Mikdash, it's a statement, right? Right? The first, it's like people who hang up the first dollar that they made, right, when they opened a store, right, to show that, look how much I've accomplished, right? I started with this first dollar, right? But if you take that first dollar and you put it in the stugga box, you're saying, this is what symbolizes my success, but I'm giving it to God because my success comes from him. Well, that's the mitzvah we actually have on Shavuot, right, is where we take the first of our fruit and we give it to God. And we say, it's really all about you. And the truth is that Chazal have a series of drashot on the psukim of Reshit Tuadcha, right, of Bikurim, that tie it into Matan Torah, right? If you look at the first, right, Midrashim and Bereshit Rabbah, right at the beginning of the Torah, they say, what is Bereshit, right? Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reshit, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikru Reshit, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikru Reshit. All those things which are Reshit, which are the Jewish people, which is the Torah, which is Eretz Yisrael, which is the Bikurim, all those things, that's why God created the world, for all those Reshit. Right, it's so there would be a people who would have a Torah, who would recognize God, who would bring, right, Bikurim, who would recognize God's sovereignty in the world. Right? All those things were part of what God created the world. They're all tied together intrinsically. That's why Bikurim is the mitzvah that we have on Shavuo. And so Rav Forman suggests that it's this complex of ideas that you know, sort of raise the Chazal's attention to the fact that Shavuot is really the day that celebrates Matan Torah, right? And the themes of Matan Torah, Kili Haaretz, V'yitem Li Segula. Okay. Rav Forman then adds one thing, and he says, okay, but to just push it Yovel specifically a bit farther, so we've seen that the theme of Yovel is that it emphasizes Kili Haaretz. But it seems to do it in a very specific way. I mean, God could have done anything, right? God could have said, you know, every, you know, day you have to get up and raise your right hand and, you know, make a declaration. You know, I pledge allegiance to whatever. You could have done whatever you want. But the Torah specifically, you know, arranges that Yovel will express itself in this 7x7 system, which prevents land from being sold forever and prevents people from being slaves forever. So why is that? So what he suggests, right, is, I mean, the upshot of it, we sort of get, right? If you really want to emphasize that God is in control of the world and therefore doesn't tolerate other people claiming ownership of people or the world, it makes sense. The end goal of Yovel is that people have to be free and that land can't be sold forever. But it's actually a little bit more than that. Because in the end of the day, right, what makes people not free, right, not free to serve God, not free to recognize God, is extreme poverty, right? So they get to the point where they're just totally dependent. And he said, if you think about it, the system that the Yovel sets up is actually very smart. It's, in an average society, in the ancient world, if someone was poor, what would happen? So if they had land, so if you have land, you're not going to be that poor. Because worst comes to worst, you always have something to fall back on, right? You have your land, which either you can plant something on, or you can sell your land, but you won't be impoverished. But once you sell the land, you've lost your right backup. And then you're going to be really, really in trouble. If you then become poor, even after you use up the money from your land, so what did you end up doing? Selling yourself into slavery. Now, the Torah wants to avoid that end goal, right? That end, not goal, that inevitability, that the really poor will end up enslaved. Well, how do you do that? So the first thing you do is you say, well, how do people get poor if they fall into debt? So the first thing we do is every seventh year we wipe out debt. But let's say that doesn't work, right? People keep accumulating debt, right? They're perpetually poor. And even with loans being wiped away, debts being wiped away every seventh year, they end up having to resort to selling their land. So now they've level safety net one is we wipe out debt every seventh year. But let's say it doesn't help you, right? You're so poor, even wiping out your debt, you still don't have food to put on the table, so you sell your land, right? So you sold your land. Now, right? So what do we say? Well, eventually that land will come back to you. But what happens if you sold your land and, you know, it's still 48 years away from Yovel, right? So, you know, the money runs out at some point and you end up selling yourself into a slave. You're already in the worst situation. Right, so the Torah says, look, in year 50, we're going to move back, right? We're going to free you, and we're going to give you back your land. We're going to move you back, right, three stages. We're going to give you back your freedom. We're going to give you back your land. And just like Shemitah, Yovel also wipes away debts. So we're going to pull you up three rungs, right? You were just a year ago, right, landless, right? You had debts, and you were enslaved. Well, we're going to free your slavery. Free you from slavery. We're going to give you back your land, and we're going to wipe out your debts. And the system of Yovel seems to be an attempt to avoid, right, the slavery, right? The way it does that is first tries to wipe out loans so you don't even have to sell your land. If you end up selling your land, we return your land. And if that's not enough and you did sell yourself into slavery, then you go free. But the system of Shemitah and Yovel is trying to slowly roll back that system of dependence of one human being on the other. Because, as Chazal mentioned over and over, what prevents people from feeling like Avdei Hashem is being avdei people, right? Is being enslaved to people. So the system of Yovel seems to try not just to commemorate Kili Haaretz, but the monetary system set up by Yovel seems to emphasize that God wants to perpetuate actual freedom so that people can continue to be his servants and not servants to people, right? So every seventh year he wipes out debts, hoping that you'll remain an independent landowner so that you're free to, you know, if you're wealthy enough, you're free to serve God in happiness. If that doesn't work and you sell your land, okay, well, hopefully you'll at least remain free. If that doesn't work, you'll be a slave, and that's really unfortunate. But Yovel will free you and will reverse you back three stages, right? We'll give you back your money, we'll wipe away your debts, and you can start again, because at least every 50 years we'll say, Kili Ha'aretz is too much for in perpetuity. You can't be enslaved, you can't be left without your heritage, right? Your family heritage, your inheritance. You need to have something so that you are free to be free, right? If we put it that way.
But on a practical level, as you say, if someone in year one has to sell their land, they're not going to see
it. They won't see it, right. Meaning, obviously, right, meaning the system, you know, tries to avoid it as much as possible. Furman likes this idea that it's not just returning people to economic freedom, it's returning people to their family, right, as the Pasuk emphasizes that you, v'shavtem ishal achozato, that Shemitah doesn't return you just to yourself, it returns you to your family.
But did it really look like, what was the principle? Well, didn't they enact things that...
So that's for Shemitah, right? That it won't wipe out loans. But Yovel never, and the land still returns. That never, at least when the Yovel applied. Now, he notes, right, that by returning people to their family, right, that's freeing them from slavery, returning them to their ancestral land is also, in a way, returning them to their family, right? He has this whole thing from John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, right? It's our land because we worked it, and et cetera, that we, feel like a familial attachment to land. But I would say even more simply is that land was divided up by family, right? Meaning when people sold land, they didn't just lose their economic support. They also no longer live next to their family, right? People grew up in family units because you inherited the same land in Eretz Israel. If you started selling your land, that means you were a slave wherever, or you were living wherever you want. Every 50 years, the family literally came back together because everyone was given back their land, right? So now you're all back, all the cousins, all anyone who had, had the same grandfather, great-grandfather, on the paternal side. Now in Yovel, they haven't seen their, they haven't been next door neighbors with their families for 45 years, right? But now, suddenly this whole family is together. Well, you don't just get to be free yourself. In a practical level, you're returned to your family, right? A, you're free as a slave, so you're now with your family, but also your whole family comes back together, right? You're not just free as individuals, you're free as family units, which is, I think, also part of the Yovel notion. So again, that we have his first point is that Yovel seems to bring together themes and emphasize the importance of this notion of Kili Ha'aretz, that God owns the world, and that's what gives him the right to choose a nation as his own, force you to return slaves and not allow you to have slaves forever. He owns the physical land, which is what allows him to give us Eretz Yisrael and force us to give back ancestral land. Shmit, Svira Omer and Shavuot seem to be a yearly commemoration of Matan Torah, which is itself an instantiation of that notion. Kili Ha'aretz v'yitem li segula, you are mine, because I chose you of the people of the earth, and seems to emphasize that theme through Bikurim, which is itself a declaration that we recognize that everything is really God's. The next point is that Yovel itself, the way practically it maintains people's freedom to allow them to serve God is by giving them security at three levels. Right, first trying to prevent them from having to sell their land, which gives them security, by wiping out debts every 7 years. If that doesn't work, then land goes back after Yovel, and if it had gotten so bad that someone was sold into slavery, Yovel will reverse that as well, and then return you not just to your freedom, but to your family, so that as a family unit, you can recommit to God. And that's the practicals of Yovel. The last point I'll make is that Bahar is continued by the Chukotai. And in B'chukosai, we look at 19, right? We have the tochacha in B'chukosai, where God, tells us, if you keep the mitzvah, it'll be great, and if you don't, right, I'll punish you, and all these horrible things will happen to you. But if you look specifically at 19, it singles out Shemitah, right? In B'chukotai, t'ilechu v'etnozai t'shmuru v'atzitem v'otam. If you keep the mitzvah, it'll be good. If not, blah, 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 blah. Pasuk Lamed Daled is Ad Tirtze Haaretz Shaptotea Kol Yimei Hashama Vatem Baaretz Vaivechem As Tishpat Haaretz Veirtzad Tzadet Haaretz Shaptotea. And if you don't keep the Torah, specifically, it sounds like Shemitah, you'll be kicked out. Right? You'll be kicked out, and you'll go into Galus, and the land will claim its Shemitah, whether you like it or not. Kol Yimei Hashama Tishbot, right? The days that remains desolate, it will get its Shemitah. Eda asher lo shavta b'shavdechem mishavdechem aleh. If you didn't, right? Because you didn't celebrate Shemitah. And it seems to be that the tochcha is not just about not keeping the Torah generally. It's aimed at those who don't keep the Shemitah Yovel system. And if you look at 18, this is supported, because in the middle of our parasha in Bahar, it says, Vasitem et chukotai v'shvatai tishmeru, vasitem otam v'shavtam al arz bedach. If you keep the chukotai v'et mishpatai, then you will sit, you'll live in Israel securely. V'atnar et priyav achaltem lasov v'shatam v'etachaleh, and you'll live safely in the land, right? The simple read of the chukosai is, right, Bahar said, if you keep my chukot, meaning you keep Shemitah, you'll live in the land. And then b'chukosai starts, v'im b'chukosai teilechu, if you keep that, it'll be good. And if not, then you'll go into galut. Right, so the simplest shot of the tochacha is if you keep Shemitah and Yovel, you'll live in Israel safely. If not, you'll go into galus. Now, why is galus the punishment? Specifically, for not keeping Shemitah and Yovel.
If you're not there, the land is fallow, so it's...
Right, and but why? Right, why do we? Right, why of all? Right, I mean, yes, the land will claim its Shemitah, but why? So it seems to be connected to all of this because, right, at a very basic level, if Shemitah and Yovel, the reason you have to leave it fallow is because you have to recognize that the land is God's. So God says very simply, if you keep that, if you keep Shemitah and Yovel, you recognize it's mine. I'll let you live there. You deny it's mine, then you're going to get kicked out, and the land will lay fallow because the land deserves it. It's mine. I want it to lay fallow. And if you don't want to give it its time, so I'll kick you out in the meantime, right? And while you're gone, the land will lay fallow. At some point, it's going to lay fallow, whether you like it or not. You, if you recognize it's mine, so you will willingly make it lay fallow. You don't recognize it, I'm going to kick you out. But one way or the other, you're going to have to recognize that the land is mine, right? And that seems to be the segue from Bahar to B'chukosai, why B'chukosai comes on the heels of Shemitah and Yovel. Is that this whole emphasis of Kili Aretz, that the land is mine, and you need to recognize it at all levels, right? That's like central to what Torah is all about. Like, it's central to how we relate to other people. It's why we can't fully enslave others. It's why we can't fully sell our land. It's why our rights to Eretz Yisrael are circumscribed. Everything is about this notion of Kili Aretz, and therefore the Torah tells you, if you recognize that, you keep, you know, Matan Torah, you keep the recognition of Matan Torah in mind, you keep Yovel in mind, Shemitah in mind, you treat other people and you treat the land with that recognition that it's all mine, then that it all will be good. But at that point at which you deny it, right? So this is like, you know, when I was in high school, I noticed this, but I didn't see all the connections, is that it makes sense that, you know, if Shemitah is about recognizing that the land is his, the reason that Galus comes if you don't keep Shemitah is because you denied that it was his. And when you add to that, that Yericho seems to be a Yovel experience. When we got Eretz Yisrael on a Shemitah Yovel experience, a 7x7, right? Meaning God gave us the land, you know, hinting to us and to the whole world. I'm giving it to you because I'm allowed to, because it's mine. If we start denying that, then we get kicked out because that's by right what should happen. So I think you take that all together, right? We get a better insight into Shavuot, right? Shavuot being this commemoration of Matan Torah, which is itself part of the Yovel scheme, that the message of all of them is Kili Haaretz, that God owns the land. He wants us, therefore, to maintain our freedom, but recognize that it comes from Him, and run our monetary systems that way, run our religious systems that way, and if we don't, then He has to punish us. But if we remember it, so then, right, God promises us that we'll live securely in Eretz Yisrael, because if it's His, and we recognize that it's His, then He'll ensure that we live there securely. So that's a little bit on Shavuot, Yovel, Matan Torah, right, and Yericho, which all seem to be part of one bigger picture. Okay.